Perhaps at the beginning of 2015, if we still are close to that, this is our second program of the new year with the Internet Advisor. It's fitting that we talk a little bit about the future and about two events that have taken place, one just finishing up, one about to start, that is the Consumer Electronics Show and the North American International Auto Show about to start, that have focused on innovation within the car industry, but in so many, many other ways. And so we're delighted that we have with us right now Professor Jeff DeGraff, who is with the Ross School of Business, where he is a professor of management and organizations at the University of Michigan, been there for a quarter century.
That's right. And unofficially the dean of innovation. And actually, right. If you go to our website, you can link off to jeffdegraff.com and learn a lot more about him. But, you know, when we were talking last segment, Jeff, you had mentioned the failure cycle, and then we never had the chance to talk about it. What is that, and why is failure so important to innovation?
Well, because we don't have data on the future, and people do get stuck in the planning cycle, you have to get momentum. And because we don't have any data on the future, we have to hedge our bets. So I don't want you to think about this like a financial sense of just managing risk. I want you to think about this like you're fishing, mm-hmm. right? You go to a new lake, you've never been there. How do you know what's in the lake? How do you know what's biting? So you put a bunch of different lures on, you throw a lot of different bait, and very quickly you begin to figure out what they're hitting. Mm-hmm. And then as you get smarter and smarter, you start to optimize. So the failure cycle is important, and this is why venture capitalists give a little bit of money to a lot of people at the beginning. This is what we call the angel phaser. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to get is what's called a churn rate, a burn rate. So they're trying to very quickly figure out what works and what doesn't work and why. And here's the key. The key is never fall in love with the solution. Fall in love with the challenge, because the solution is going to change over time. Think about it. Version 1, version 2, version 3.
Right. Sure.
Very seldom do you get it right the first time. And if you did, you're either lucky, right? And your luck is going to run out at some particular point, right? Or you know, you've got some magical powers. But for the most part, serial entrepreneurs and serial innovators always hedge at the beginning.
You know, it's interesting, Jeff, because Microsoft is often maligned for having, you know, putting out something that eventually has to be redone again and again and again right now within Windows 8, soon to be Windows 10, which personally I'm using it. I think it's going to be a wonderful improvement on it. But they've been maligned because they haven't had it done right the first time around. But they stick to it, and eventually they do come up with a pretty good product.
I think the reason people push back on Microsoft, and I think it's fair, is that as companies get larger and larger, the process of innovation gets heavier and heavier and heavier. Mm-hmm. There's things like portfolio management, stage gating systems, and how you manage metrics. I write a lot of books about this. But the issue is sometimes the weight of the process gets heavier than the experimentation itself. Right. So this is going to be one of the big keys. So the challenge when you do this is you want to have people go through the failure cycle without taking a lot of risk. And the way to do it is very simple. First of all, people have to come up with a high quality target. Most of the people who innovate try and boil the ocean and extract gold. You know, and it's, I get those all the time. I've got the next miracle. No, you don't. No, just calm down. Two, innovation is not produced through alignment. It's produced through constructive conflict. That's why innovation happens in areas around the world that are the most diverse areas. So it's not an amateur sport. It requires deep and diverse domain expertise. So I live in this little city of Ann Arbor with 102,000 people, but it's the most educated zip code in the world. Everybody has a different area. So they're not amateurs, but they don't agree. It's conflict. Right? It's pushing and shoving that creates the new idea. Third, you have to take multiple shots on goal. That's the failure cycle. Are you willing to do that? Right? Most people hate failure. And unfortunately, those of us who've kind of succeeded at this, a lot of us growing up were you know, screw-ups. A lot of us were screw-ups, including myself.
There's hope for me yet.
Yeah, my son, who's 16, talking about the show today, and I was excited to have you on. And we were talking about, and he mentioned Thomas Edison.
Yeah.
And he said, well, Edison always, you know, he failed right up until the very last time. I said, that's it. He kept going until
as all innovators are, because you could say somebody's a visionary in one breath and in the other breath say he's a liar. He was a liar. He was a total liar. Edison said he was going to have an incandescent light bulb in 6 weeks. That would be like saying now we're going to have cold fusion in 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. He knew he didn't know how to do it. He pilfered all kinds of patents that had been out there. He was notoriously manipulative. But in 3 years, he came up with an incandescent light bulb. So this whole idea – of looking at the future, whoever looks at the future is going to seem like a kook to some degree. Well, the final part that you have to have is you got to get smarter. You got to learn from your experience and experiments. And the problem is most people who fail don't get any smarter. You know, the guy who's on his fourth marriage and he's never, always the, he's never any smarter.
Now, let's talk about innovators. Who do you see in the current horizon who are, do you think, are the key innovators of our generation right now?
Well, I think everybody talks about Elon Musk and
he was
Tesla
in my mind right away,
and SpaceX, and I think that's fair. I actually think people are looking the wrong direction for who the great innovators are. I think the great innovators are kind of in three categories. One of my favorites is the X Prize, and seeing people in places around the world that you normally wouldn't expect innovators
the X Prize
to come
was,
from.
To create a vehicle that would go to the moon?
Well, that was the first one, but there are also things like how to create an inexpensive oven in sub-Saharan Africa, how to basically eliminate certain diseases that the large farmers aren't looking at. So they can become very very simple or very sophisticated, but what I love about it is there's a lot of places in the world where people don't have access to the kinds of technologies and capital that we do in the United States, but they're wonderfully imaginative. So the one thing I want everybody to get is people are innovative everywhere. That is not a birthright to Americans.
Okay, good.
Millions and millions miles on Delta alone, and I could tell you, I see some of the most amazing stuff in hovels and in little corners of the world.
Do you mean they really don't have to be a certified professional innovator?
Yes, they don't have to be one, but it's good if they are one. How about that?
So tell us about this program, because it's a certification an innovator?
The big thing for me was there's a lot of people who were line managers, or they were running a restaurant, or they're a regional manager. They were never taught about innovation when they came up through the system. And so I literally get thousands of these emails a year. What can you do for me? I read your book, something like that. And what I ended up doing was with the School of Engineering at the University of Michigan, I built a program with 14 modules, and it's like the Khan Academy. It's me going on for about 15 minutes about things like how do you actually build a measurement system for innovation? How do you actually build a development system for innovation? And I built it so that you can do it while you're on the subway or working out, because you don't want to sit and listen to me ramble on about this stuff. And then the idea is you have to be assessed and you get a real project that you're going to bring in to my lab, the Innovatrium, and for 2 days we're going to do what we'd do if you were General Electric or Apple. We're going to jumpstart it. So the project, you actually have to do it. You have to run a project for the next 90 days. Myself or the junior faculty or somebody from my lab is going to be coaching these teams, and that's what happens.
So you create a space, like a maker space in some senses, where they can bring their ideas in. And you had the wherewithal, the machinery, et cetera, to make it happen.
Yeah, that's where all these innovations started. That's just I put this building together a decade ago. And what's interesting about this is it's not the building. It's the community that you build.
That's right.
It's the people. And the final part of that is it really is this deep, diverse domain expertise where you're getting this conflict. The final part is they have to present the idea. It has to be significantly better and new. It has to have magnitude and speed. And if they succeed, the University of Michigan gives them a certificate from the University of Michigan. You put a sticker on your helmet saying, the University of Michigan says I can actually do this kind of stuff. It's the same kind of things they do with surgeons, and the same kind of things that they do with anybody who's going on in developing their education and adding the certification to their education.
What value does that have been in the marketplace?
Well, if I'm a regional manager and all of a sudden an innovation has been pushed down into the line functions, this is a big thing that's happened in the last 10 years. It's gotten out of the R&D lab. Now you've got to figure out how to manage your warehouse with robotics and big data. And right. So the notion is that person is looking for a competitive advantage against the other 100 people who are out there who are the middle-aged managers trying to look for a way to have a leg up or something better than the other guy has. And that's what I think a lot of these are. And a lot of them are also engineers who are in things like the software business, and it's all compiler code and they want to do something different. They want somebody to recognize that they can actually create new types of software, new types of solutions.
We're talking with Jeff Dean, by the way. Who was he in? Jeff DeGraff, pardon
that's
me.
That's right.
The Dean of Innovation. That's how I get mixed up. Professor of Management and Organizations at the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan. I want to get back to the innovators again. You mentioned Elon Musk. Anybody else that struck you? Now, maybe from one of those hovels you visited, somebody that struck you as a...
Yes, I got to meet a young doctor in India who was doing cataract surgery. And he was doing cataract surgery, which in America takes about 2 hours for somebody to do.
I had this year, both eyes.
I met a man who was doing them in 18 minutes. and he was doing them for $200 a piece.
Whoa!
Amazing stuff like this. I gave the when the Affordable Care Act came out under pressure from a couple of my colleagues. I gave my TED talk at the Kennedy Center in D.C. with Francis Collins, who broke the gene, cracked the genome, and Michael Porter, and the Surgeon General, and everybody else. And one of the things I did with my talk, I think, was really radical. I invited four clients, like Google, et cetera, to show what their innovations are, and what's happening is young people are doing physicals with an iPhone, and young people are developing decalcifying nutraceutical drugs, and these are people that are not famous yet.
Yet, but
they will be.
All right, we're talking again with Jeff DeGraff, the Dean of Innovation. When we come back,